All right, tonight is, we've been doing Sweet Spirit, Wisdom, Power. Tonight is Wisdom, and we are going to go to the book of Proverbs, but I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 first. And as you're turning there, I was in Bible college, and we had not had rain for 3 months. So I took two of the kids from the school and said, Linda went to a devotional at the college and I said that we're going to tear off the roof in Hollywood and then we'll put the paper down and then we'll do the other work on another day. Well, we started really early. We were working really good. I kept looking into the sky for some reason. Nothing. I mean, not a cloud in the sky. And about 4 hours in, I caught a little glimpse of a cloud. And I just kept looking at it, and it kept getting bigger and bigger. And I said, I think we might have to work a little quicker. And it's kind of hard when you're not used to, they weren't used to manual work. And so we're going along, and I keep looking, and now it's gotten bigger. And I said to the one fellow, you need to go downstairs and find every pot that we have. And I said, and get ready, because I said, this is going to dump on us. And there's thunder and there's lightning. And we had all the roof ripped off. And they weren't exposed beams, but the roofing was like 1x6. And so it started raining, and it started lightning, and started thunder. The fellow that I'm working with to put down the tar paper is scared to death. I mean, literally scared to death. I said, just keep going. The Lord will see us through this. And so the guy downstairs who had pots all over the house where water was coming in. So my point was, I saw something. And I used the reasoning that because it hadn't rained so long, surely it's not going to rain today. 3 months is a long time, no rain. The prognosticators, of course, said, nice sunny day. And so here it comes out from the southwest, and it keeps moving in. And now you're hit with it. You saw it coming. You got hit with it. We could have run off the roof and said, forget it, but we didn't. We stayed on. We covered the whole roof. The two of us lived. We repaired all the things that happened to the house inside. But there's a point in what I'm saying, and that has to do with where we're going tonight. So, Proverbs 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Right? Proverbs chapter 22. I know we are in chapter 12 or 13. But we're going to jump way ahead. Proverbs chapter 22. And look at verse 1. You probably saw this or in Ecclesiastes. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So my point in jumping ahead is to deal with these two verses and some others and put into perspective what we should already know and probably do, who we who profess to be saved are really all about. So I want to start with something easy. We are not all good judges of value in the public market of life. We make grievous mistakes, both in choosing and refusing. And we all do this, and often throw away the pearl while carefully keeping the shell. Some, even to the point of earthly things, are of greater worth than others, even eternal. And so the value in both ends of this balance belongs to time, and yet there's a choice between them. So Ecclesiastes 7:1 and Proverbs 22:1, riches or death appear to be the standard by which other things are estimated. And really, most of my time is spent with Proverbs 22, verse 1. If you've watched any advertising or read any advertising in print, you'd see that they are quick to promote gold when things in life start to slide. Gold is the standard. I mean, they don't hide that. That is a grievous mistake. It is an error. It is wrong. Gold is not the standard. Many things are better than gold. And one of these is a good name. So if we choose honor as the substantial portion of our soul, I think honor kind of flits all over the place, kind of like a shadow during the day. And truthfully, we're never satisfied. But though the shadow is there, in and of itself worthless, it's a precious accompaniment to the substance of honor. So the atmosphere of good names surrounding the conscience is a beautiful thing. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we read that a good name is rather, a good name is better than precious ointment, than the day of death, than the day of one's birth. So I'm going to take a good name has a reputation for, and I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Not saying much about a good name yet, but I mean, giving you the character of a good name. In chapter 4, and look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So a good name is known to God, who sees our heart, and we are approved of Him manifesting these characteristics of a good name. Timothy's Greek name, of course, was Timotheus. His name means dear to God. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we read in chapter 4, in verse 12, Paul's admonition to him: let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He didn't have to be old to have a good name, did he? A lot of times you think, well, as you age, maybe you get over some of the indiscretions and other things like that, hopefully so. And then you get old, you get wiser. You better get wiser. It's a terrible thing to see an old person that's not wise, that hasn't learned. But he didn't have to be. He was a young man. This verse will come up in a few minutes. David, does anybody know what David's name meant? Offhand? I mean, if you watch the TV program, there was a person whose last name was David, but they all called her David, and that's the proper pronunciation. It means loving. Loving. I don't want to go into examples with that, but Acts chapter 11, so I'm bringing up things. To me, a good name is dear to God, and we've read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Acts chapter 11, and I want to start reading here when I get to it, in verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. You remember in chapter 8, Saul, was before he was called Paul, was after them, and they went everywhere in chapter 8, preaching the word. And so now you see from chapter 11 that they preached to the Jews. Okay, verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. First time this word is used, Christians. If my wife had asked me when I met her, are you a Christian? I would have said yes. Was I saved? No. But the word Christian had been so misused over the years, and I was 24 years old, I associated people that went to church with being Christian. If you read the media, they associate church people with being Christians. That's not true. These were followers of Christ. They were believers. They were saved people that followed the Lord. It's a big difference. How many of us could say, we know we're saved? Hopefully all of us. How many of us could say we're Christians under the biblical name? I think the number would dwindle. You see that by the lack of people that are here. For whatever reason, you say, well, you shouldn't pick on them. Yeah. Really? In this day, in this age, where we are, I'm not picking on them, I'm just telling the truth. There are people that could come, but don't. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about travel. I'm talking about it's not convenient. The name Christian was not merely a salvation issue of identification. They spent a year there learning and probably doing. In Acts chapter 5, let's go back to chapter 5. And then we'll slip back to 1 Timothy 4. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. All right, the word believers. And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 again. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And really, I'm isolating all of these things for a particular reason. Because to me, these are qualities of a good name. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12 again. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou example of the believers. The believers. These were people that were trustworthy. They were faithful. They were consistent. You would say that would be just another word for Christians. You might say that. But you'd not necessarily. So the other word that I'm going to use is the Son of God. So let's look here at John 1:12. John 1:12. The rest of these will be under that title, that heading. Sons of God. I was raised that God was the Father of us all, and that we all were children of God. The Bible didn't say that. But I was taught that. So I had two strikes against me. I probably had more than two strikes. I probably had two strikes and two outs when Linda asked me if I was a Christian, because in my mindset, well, I was told I was a child of God, and I went to church way back when, so I must be a Christian. I didn't have a father. I didn't become a son until I was saved. A son of God, that is. So John 1:12 makes that very clear. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when I received Christ as my Savior, trusted him, I became his son. He became my father. All right? So, with that in mind, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8 in verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, that's not it. Where am I? Acts chapter, I'm in Romans. I'm supposed to be in Romans. Are you in Romans or Acts?
Romans.
Sorry. It's been a long day. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is in you. Part of his ministry is to lead you, direct you, convict you of sin, teach you all truth. People who are not saved don't have that. If they are spirit-led, it's an evil spirit. We're being led by the Spirit of God because we're sons of God. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll begin here in verse 15. Well, let's do 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do as his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. There's a lot of things there. Blameless, harmless, shining as lights, holding forth the word of life, and not running or laboring, and the one that gave you that information, not running and laboring in vain. 1 John chapter 3. By the way, who's in control? Who is in control of your life as a believer? The Holy Spirit or you? Or the world? Somebody is in control in your life. Somebody is in controlling your life right now. Sons of God. Many of us are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3. And let's look down here in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. As a son of God, one day we will be like him, and we will see him as he is. So I look at this, I put all this together, and I say, bless God, I have a good name. And I'm not going to be bashful to say that. I have a good name. Because all the things we've looked at here under that doesn't mean I'm perfect in all of those, but I have a good name. And I can get funny with you in Revelation chapter 3, in one of the seven churches, it talked about the believers having a name which no man knoweth. So I had a teacher in school who said, the Lord's going to have us there. I don't know, maybe he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm waiting for my name to be spoken of, and I'm waiting for Mark Cameron come forward, and he says some other name. He looks around, doesn't know that name. No man knows what this new name is, but I have a good name. No matter the circumstances, or the confusions, or the distress, I look at this and I see I have a lot to live up to. But God is able to supply that need and that grace wherever it's needed. Do you think that as believers, as Christians, as sons of God, as people who are led by the Spirit of God, that we need a little bit extra measure of grace right now? Absolutely. But don't shut the hole. Let him pour it in. Paul's charge to Timothy should be to us as well now, so that when our time comes, apart from the rapture, it will only be reasonable that we say this as Paul did. First Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy, 4th chapter. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Down here in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of the departure is at hand. Now he was fortunate, and he knew that the Lord was going to do something with him. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You want to be practicing the very things that he talked about when he said, I fought a good fight. You want to be fighting a good fight today. You don't want to be doing nothing or little, and then suddenly you're going to remember on your deathbed, oh, by the way, Lord, I fought a good fight. I don't think you'd be embarrassed to say that. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And the Lord's going to reward him. He knew the Lord was going to reward him. The elements of a good name or a great name is not great wealth. Actually, it's not any wealth. It's not being really smart like a genius. It's not you feeling good about yourself. I say, I have a good name. I don't deserve that good name. But it is a good name. And that good name should be able to allow me to ride over all the things that are going on and will go on, because I see something coming. I'm hoping it's come up hither. But if it's not, what I see coming is going to come. It may not take 5 hours. It may take who knows how long. But it's spreading like most storms do. Before the Lord gives you warnings. If today you don't see a warning, you're missing something. We've been fortunate. We have been so fortunate, and we've become lazy. And not only lazy, we've become comfortable. There's a storm coming. And the things that we talk about and saying, you know, maybe these things may come down the road. Do you understand these are becoming more realistic? And how are you going to act? Are you going to become more shy, more bashful, more timid, more laid back? Or are you going to let people know who you are and what you stand for? You have a good name. Yes, we'll get in trouble for some of the things we're going to say. Probably some of the messages we're going to preach. But so be it. It's in the Word. We have a Word that's perfect. Much better than our good name. Why should we hold back? I mean, there are sins being committed right in front of our eyes, and we say nothing and do nothing. There's an old, I don't know, I guess it's a fable, but it's kind of interesting. It happened one day that fire, water, and fame went out to travel together. They consulted with each other that if one lost one another, how they might be retrieved and meet again. Fire said, "Where you see smoke, there you shall find me." And the other two said, "Ah." Water said, "Where you see marsh and moorish, low ground, there you'll find me." And the other two, they agreed. And fame said this, "Take heed how you lose me. For if you do, you will run a great hazard, never to meet me again. There's no retrieving of me." We have a good name. We live in a good country. But if that country goes, and our good name goes, there's no retrieving it. So we have to purpose, I have to purpose, that what I'm going to do is everything that I should have been doing before when I had the opportunity, and now I still have the opportunity, but I'm going to make sure that that becomes part of who I am, more so. Not to be contentious, but just to be maybe a little bit like Paul. Did you see him? Was he timid in anything? I mean, we've said things over the course of the dealing in the book of Acts. How would you like to go to a city like Iconium and you go into the synagogue, you preach the gospel, people believe, and the Judaizers come and they want to stone you. And so then you go to Lystra. And you get the same response in Lystra, and they do stone you. And I believe he died. And I believe the Lord brought him back. And then he continued on, and he made it back to Antioch. And where is the first place he goes on the second missionary journey? Lystra. Would you do that? Why? You've got a good name. And I think that supersedes everything else that's happening. I went to bed between 8:30 and 9 last night. Something was wrong. I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. It's like the storm. I knew something was wrong. They didn't call Florida when the election was done and counted. There was something involved that I did not know. Went to bed, went to sleep, got up this morning, determined there are certain places I am not going to look for news anymore, if at all. I have to know something. I have to know where I am. But I am not going to trust places that told me to trust them. The government, who's the head of the government? All government. Who's the God of this world? Now, the Lord puts people in and takes people out, but we have nothing to do with government. So, really, we've been getting a free ride. And that may all change. And if it does, then we have to determine, what are we going to do? Are we going to cower in the corner? When I was 6 or 7 years old, there was a bully in our schoolyard, and he was chasing kids, and I yelled something to him. I should have never done that. My squeaky little voice. And he kept chasing me, and I never knew that I could run so far and so fast in all my life. And then I realized I couldn't outrun him, and I laid down and curled up into a little ball. We can't do that. We are who we are. And in and of ourselves, there's no good thing in us, and yet at the same time, we're sons of God. We're believers. Hopefully, we're Christians, followers of Christ. We're all of these things in one. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You've got to get rid of that. You got to put that down. It's easy to do. And stand your ground. Didn't mention the Open Bible Baptist Church. The lady came her husband and the child. They have a meeting on Sunday. Their church is in jeopardy. We should pray for boldness for those people. The members of their church to stand up to this guy that's come in and wants to just take over the whole church. And you know, she said, I don't know how they're going to do that. I said, you pray for boldness. The Lord will lead you in that. I mean, it's worth it. When the people wanted to take over this church, before it was this church, Joel's not here tonight, but his family was, and they were all up with now them, and they got back here to make sure that nothing bad happened. This is your church. This is not my church. We are members one of another. We are brothers and sisters. And we cannot allow ourselves to lay and roll up in a little ball. It's going to be impossible to teach Leviticus, Romans chapter 1. Does that mean we're not going to do it? No. It means we're going to do it. Not to be in somebody's face, but because it's in the Word. And we believe this book before we're going to obey a government that says you can't do that. Well, you'll go to jail. I know that. Am I afraid? I've been in jail before. Not a place you want to be, but that's okay. Look what happened. I made it through. And good things came out of that. Was Paul in jail? Was Paul Bunyan in jail? Yep. We were at the Mamertine prison, by the way, where the Apostle Paul was in Rome. And you go down some steps, and the ceiling must have been 5 feet high. And it's all dirt and grime, putrid. There are no windows. It's a dungeon, basically. That's all it was. And yet he led people to the Lord there. So wherever you are, you still have the power of the gospel of Christ. You still have that. You still have that. You don't have the power. God has the power to work through that. We give that out. We're a peculiar people. Yes. We have to be. So what are you trying to tell us? Get your mind off yourself. Get it on Christ and what we are in Christ. Because, you know, I can go home. It's not that I feel good about myself. I don't feel good about myself. I don't feel good about my country. I don't feel good about what's taking place. I know the name of the game, but there's a storm coming. If you don't get anything else, get that. There is a storm coming. And you've got to see it with spiritual eyes. And once you see it, you have a decision to make. Do we run off the roof and get inside and let the house fall apart? Or do we kind of dry it in and then mend what we can do? Let's mend what we can do. We still have the ability to do things. I don't foresee things happening very quickly, but that's okay. If they do, they do. So don't say you weren't warned. You've been warned. There is a storm coming. Let's pray. Father, we come before you as your children. So grateful for you and what you've done through us and with us and continue to do. We don't deserve that. But with all that doing with us and through us, I think you deserve a response. Not so we can put a plaque on our wall that talks about the sons of God and says we're one of those. No, so that we could manifest the character of sons of God. Sons of yours. I hurt as much as anybody else hurts. It grieves me. It pains me. But I am not going to let Satan have his way. I am not going to let the world have its way. I am not going to let my flesh have its way. It'll take some doing. But if I have a predetermined dedication, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to wait until something comes up, in all likelihood, I may not. We all need to leave here with a predetermined dedication. Father, I just ask that you give that to us with a great sense of boldness. We belong to you. You belong to us. Let's go forth from here tonight, rejoicing in who we are, what we have, and taking the stand from your word, manifesting the character of who we're supposed to be in all things. I pray, Father, that you'd give us traveling mercies to our places tonight. Give us good night's rest. Not involve ourselves with anything audio or visual that will temper who we are or disturb who we are. We're yours. There's nothing better than that. The world hates us because we're yours. We don't have to become like the world. We don't have to know everything that the world does. It's all junk anyway. Speak to our hearts through this rest of this week. Perhaps there's somebody we can talk to. Perhaps somebody is in a state of mind where we can show them your word, the gospel. If they're saved, what do you expect of them? I'm grateful for the people that came tonight, those that are watching. We just pray that you will be merciful to us. And we do. We ask for that extra measure of grace. We all need it. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.